Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. You have called me.
We thank the Lord on tonight. Truly the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth for all generations. From morning by morning, new mercies we seek. It is simply God's goodness that we are still here. His faithfulness, his compassions that fail not. We bless his holy and righteous name for another night's service. We're still ministering from Matthew chapter 24, and we're still talking about the end time, things that will soon come to pass. We bless the Lord for his word on record, realizing that this word is infallible, a sure foundation, and we bless his holy and righteous name. You know, the Lord is truly good. Think about the multitudes of people on this planet, all the things that are going on, how he gives us favor, how he works things through, how he's there all the time. He's there all the time for us, and we are certainly grateful how God just fit things in and put things in his right place. You know, he's sovereign, y'all. He is in charge. The Lord is in charge. This world belongs to him. He hasn't, you know, lost control of this world. Everything that we see going on today, you know, this fast-paced society, this evil and perverse world, you know, but God is still in charge, and everything is working its way through. All things work together for good, the Bible tells us, to them that love him, to them who are called according to his purpose. So we thank God. God knows exactly how to do it, exactly when, the proper thing. If we would simply wake up and pay attention to the signs and the wonders, signs that, you know, God is revealing to us. You know, it's amazing how loud he speaks and nobody's really listening. If we simply would just look at the handwriting on the wall, you know, we can see what time we're living in, the very things that are going on. So we bless the Lord. We bless him again. We bless his holy and righteous name. We praise him. We exalt him. We lift him up. We certainly want to invite you to come and join us in this service here on tonight. Last week we were in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, and we were talking about the battle of Armageddon. You know, God, you know, how he comes back on a white horse with 10,000s of his saints to fight in this battle, for the battle is the Lord. Matthew chapter 24, you know, every eye shall see him. Every eye shall see him. You know, just think about it. He appears in the eastern sky, and because of the brightness of his appearance, every eye will see him. Just think about it. The rapture occurs in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And just, you know, only those that are caught up with him, the church, the bride of Christ, are able to witness this. But when he comes back to fight in the battle of Armageddon, the whole world see him with his saints, 10,000s of his saints, coming back to fight at the Battle of Armageddon in defense of Israel. Amen? Let's read a couple of verses before we go forward with tonight's verse. Let's look at verse 30. And then shall appear signs of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Let me read that again. Matthew chapter 24, verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Amen. We bless the Lord. We bless the Lord, you know. We bless his holy and righteous name. We thank God for having a plan, you know, having a plan and having, you know, placed his plan. And, you know, God's word goes out of his mouth and it accomplishes those things that he has spoke to, you know, the things that he speaks to, the wind, you know, to the earth and everything he is moving by the power of God, and he speaks. And, you know, the creatorial God who created all things, universes, planets, stars, everything, every molecule, you know, who speaks and it comes about, you know, the word of God, which is powerful and sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword, who cuts through the joint into the marrow and into the joint, a discerner of the thoughts and the content of the heart. We certainly bless God for this word. I am excited. You know, the church comes back with him for that great appearance. Amen. That great appearance with great glory and honor and power. Great glory and power. Amen. We bless his holy and righteous name. Let us move forward with today's lesson. Today's lesson, we're starting at Matthew 24, verse 31. That's what we're starting at today. Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet. I'm sorry, Matthew 32, fig tree trap parable. This is where we're starting at today. Matthew 24, verse 32. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branches is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye when ye shall see all of these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Amen. The fig tree parable. When the fig tree set forth her tender branches, know ye that summer is nigh, even at the door. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, Father, as we come before your throne of grace, your throne of mercy, we ask you, Lord God, first for forgiveness of sin. Wash us in your blood, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Give us of thy spirit, Lord God, afresh and anew, a spirit that's worthy to come into your very presence. We thank God for the Holy Ghost, the very spirit of truth. We ask him to lead us and guide us and teach us. Bring all things back to our remembrance, the things that are necessary for this worship experience on tonight. Father, we are grateful for the Holy Ghost. Now, Lord, we just ask that you would send your word with power and conviction. In the name of Jesus Christ, we plead your precious blood. Let your blood prevail, God. Take authority over every hindering spirit. Run it helpless over this service. Our soul cries, yes, Lord. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. Now, Lord, bless us and we shall be blessed. Keep us, God, and we shall be kept is our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We thank God. We thank God. And amen. When the fig tree sent forth her tender branches, know ye that summer is nigh, even at the door. You know, everything that we have went over, everything that we have talked about in Matthew 24 is in a response to the disciples coming to Jesus. Of course, we know he goes, after leaving the temple, he goes to the Mount of Olives where his disciples came unto him privately. And they ask him a very simple question. Give us a sign, they said, and an end of the age. Give us a sign of your coming and an end of the age. And everything that we have read and ministered and taught thus far is to answer those questions, you know, those very questions. Just keep in mind, one of the first things that Jesus said, that there will be a deception, that many will be deceived. This is the first thing that he said. Take heed that no man deceive you. Keep in mind, Jesus wouldn't have said this if there isn't or there wasn't a deception. People are being deceived, led to believe that they have what they don't have, making promises of things that they don't even, doesn't belong to them. I mean, there is a deception. People are deceived. They have led astray. You know, the Bible says that many shall be led astray, giving heed to, in the latter day, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There's all kinds of religion, all kinds of religious arts, all kinds of mysticism, and, you know, all kinds of doctrines and things that are being taught at this present age and present time. You know, you got all the New Age movement and, you know, the fantasy with computers, and there's such a great increase in knowledge of all kinds of things that are going on in the world today. And people are chasing after all kinds of imagination, being led astray by seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Again, one of the first things that Jesus said, that many would be deceived. In fact, the Bible let us know that there cannot be, except there be a falling away first, the Bible let us know that he can't even come, you know. The end can't come except there first be a falling away. You know, there is a falling away from the faith, from the basic faith of salvation. You know, we got this watered down, you know, trickle down, you know, imaginary, all kinds of doctrines that are being taught. And people are getting caught up and caught off into all kinds of isms and schisms. You know, holiness is still right. The Bible is still right. There's no new way of serving God. You know, there's no new idea. It's all written in the Word of God. It's all been here from the beginning. I mean, we have taken what God has said to us and making it out of something totally different. to suit our fancy, to suit our ego, to suit our attitude and our appetite. You know, we've gone off into all kinds of strange things and said, you must have it like this, and you must be one of these. And, you know, we are missing, you know, we're missing some things. You know, we're missing. Because many have been deceived. You know, grace and mercy is still grace and mercy. But don't take grace and mercy for blatant, downright sin and believe that it's all right to sin, it's all right to be caught off into sin, and it's okay because you have mercy and grace pleading on your behalf. It doesn't work like that. You know, holiness is still right. God said, be holy for I, the Lord God. Not so much that you are holy, but you have a desire to live right. If you're not being convicted by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, you know, if his job is to convict sinners, convict our heart of sin, and if you're not being convicted by sin, then something is wrong. You know, you still got to live a righteous life. Try to, you know, live holy. You still got to hold up the banner, the blood-stained banner. You got to still live, you know, true worship. Worship him in spirit as well as in truth. We still got to put God first. You know, we got to put him first. We got to keep Christ first in our life. Heaven on our minds. Amen? You can't go to sleep. You can't be drunken with the affairs of this life. You know, drunken with ordinary man-made things. You know, sleeping. You know, they're simply not awake, paying attention. You know, you got to have the fire burning. You know, if you don't stay around the fire, eventually you will become cold and very indifferent. So where the word is being taught, where correction is being made, you know, where saints and people, if they preaching on sin, if sin is not a problem with wherever you are or wherever you're being taught, you know, living a holy life, if those things are not being taught, then, you know, there's something wrong because we are imperfect people trying to do perfection work. And sanctification is a part of, you know, this sanctified, being sanctified by the washing of the water by the word. You know, being sanctified, being, you know, the word has a washing, a cleaning effect. You know, if you're not being corrected, if we are not being sharpened, if our skills and our lifestyle is not being, you know, sharpened, or if our giftings and our callings are not being sharpened, then it's something, it's like we're going to sleep, that we're taking it easy, like we're taking a nap, that you've taken down away from the standards. The word is a standard that we live by. So if we're not doing these things, there's something going on. You know, take heed that no man deceive you. You know, take heed. It's not all about earthly goods, money, and cars, and houses, although these things just come with the fact that you're saved. You know, God will bless his kids, his children. The blessing comes just because you're in the kingdom, because you're saved. Yeah. Amen. So we thank God. Two things that he talked about specifically is taking, you know, if there's going to be truth, there must be a lie. You know, the devil is still doing his work, you know, deceiving and waiting to deceive and waiting to kill and to destroy. The devil's at work. And he's not at work just in the streets, in the world. He's also working in the church. You know, then if there's a true church, there must be a false church and a counterfeit church, and it looks just like the real church. So you got to be careful. You know, you got to be careful. You got to know. You got to know, people of God, and not get caught up in everything that's going on in the world, because everything that's going on is not necessarily of God. Amen? You know, we got churches popping up everywhere. Everybody wants to be somebody in the kingdom of God. Everybody wants to be a preacher. Or, you know, everybody. That's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful calling. Amen? Let's look at this verse. Verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branches is yet tender and put forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Amen. The fig tree parable. If you could take a moment, we're going to pick up a few verses in Jeremiah chapter 24. Jeremiah talked about these figs, and he likened these figs unto Israel. The reality is the Jews were spread all over the world. They went into captivity into Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and did not become a sovereign nation until May 12th, 1948, the fig tree parable. You know, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 2. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe. And the other basket had very naughty figs, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. And then said the Lord unto me, what seest thou, Jeremiah? And I said, figs, good figs, very good, and the evil, very evil, that cannot be eaten. They are so evil. Verse 4, and again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them, that they are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their goods. Israel, the fig tree is a symbol of Israel. Yeah, they were carried into captivity. Let's read verse 1. And the Lord shewed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the temple of the Lord after that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away captivity Jericho, son of Jeroboam, and the king of Judah, and the prince of Judah, and the carpenter and the smith from Jerusalem, and had brought them to Babylon. They went into captivity all over the world. You know, the Jews were spread all over the world. This is the reason why they're coming from Russia and different places all over Europe, coming back to Jerusalem, the city of David, the city of bread. You know, they're coming back. One of the reasons why they're coming back is they're looking for the Messiah. They're looking for a Messiah. May the 12th, 1948, they came back to Jerusalem and settled on the fig tree, again, set forth her tender branches. Know ye that summer is nigh, even at the door. The generation that see Israel became a nation would see it all fulfilled. All fulfilled. What was the question? Give us a sign of your coming and an end of the age. This is what they asked him on the Mount of Olives. Again, the first thing that he talked about was deception. Deception. And that's what this end time is all about. People are being deceived. You know, we've become so carried away. The world systems. You know, we're caught up in all kinds of isms and schisms. You know, Satan is the god of this world. You know, we got all kinds of schemes, how to get rich, you know, how to gather this world's goods. God wants us to prosper. He wants us to be in good health. But he don't want these things in this world to separate you from him. You know, you get so deep in debt that you can't rest trying to figure out how we're going to pay these bills. You know, how we're going to keep this house. You know, what kind of car we're going to drive. And, you know, we don't want just the car. We want the Mercedes-Benz. We want top shelf stuff. You know, stuff that, you know, we're just showing off, you know, become like peacocks. You know, this is good, you know, if you can afford it. But if, you know, you have to stay within means, within your limitations. So we thank God for his wisdom. You know, you have to stay focused. You know, we have to be focused. You know, we have to put our affection on God, not on the things of this world, not on the things of this life. You know, the church has a heavenly calling. Calling of the church is heavenly. We're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You know, our name has been changed. Our address, we have an address in heaven. You know, we don't get so mesmerized with this world. You know, our home is in heaven. We're just passing through this world. You know, sojourning. We sojourned here, and we're on our way. The upward bound, we're on our way. You know, our home is in heaven. So let us begin to put our affections on God, on the things above, for our life is hidden in God in Christ Jesus. You know, our life is hidden in him. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, he's the one, we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, these are the answers both. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he had before ordained that we should walk in. And then Paul tells us to work out our soul salvation with fear and trembling, not so much more in his presence. You know, do all things without murmuring, dispute, blameless sons of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse world. He tells us to let our light so shine that men might see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Work out your own soul salvation. You know, first of all, we got to know what is God's purpose for our life. You know, why did he save me at this hour? He could have saved anybody, but he saved you. And then he has a purpose in the reason why he saved you. You know, God has a purpose in saving you, and he gives you an assignment, and he tells you to work out your soul's salvation with fear and trembling. You know, God has a purpose in saving you. He has things that he's assigned to your hand, purposes that he placed in your heart, and he wants you to fulfill your purpose and your mission here in this world. It satisfies him that you're doing his will and not your own will. So we thank God that he has before ordained. You know, we are his workmanship, created on the good works, not evil works or dead works, because some of the stuff that we do for ourselves is just dead works. Just that simple. It's not even recorded. You know, the good work is the work that we work for him. You know, work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling is what he says. You know, when you give your life to the Lord, you know, from that place on, it's all about him. It's never been about us. It's always been about him. But now that you have a relationship, because through salvation, through the born-again experience, we have relationship. You know, that's what we have. You know, Jesus says it like this. Be ye born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. He says that through the born-again experience, we can see the kingdom. Before that, you don't even have the spirit of God. And if we have not the spirit of God, we are none of his. You know, it takes the spirit to reveal God to you, to me. You know, the born-again experience is where it began. You know, we got to be saved. We got to be saved. You really got to be rooted and grounded in him. You got to be saved. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh, Nicodemus, is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not at this. Ye must be born again. Must be. So we thank God for the born again experience. And once you get born again, I often tell young Christians, try to sit down with God. You know, try. It's imperative that you find out what is it that God has need of from your life. You know, what is it that God is requiring from you? What does he need? Why did God save you? He's always with a purpose. Keep in mind, God always has purpose in the thing that he does. Nothing in this world is just so, and it just happened. Everything happens because, and every day there are reasons. There are things that happen around you every day. That's the reason why we have to keep up with what's going on. We have to keep up with our lives and the things that are going on, or life will just pass you by. I'm serious. You know, people have a way of just letting go. And they get so caught up. They wake up in life, things that they should have done years ago, they just simply, you know, trying to catch up, you know, feeling that they lost or they missed something. So we got to keep focused, stay focused, stay on track, keep things in its own order, in its own perspective. Christ is first. You know, Christ is first. You know, Christ is first in everything. And he's not first. And if he's not first, then he's nothing. God has got to be first. Seriously. I mean, I'm not just saying this. He's got to be first. So we thank God for he's Lord of Lords, brothers and sisters, King of Kings. I mean, these are things that you know, we got to practice. You know, we got to keep it in mind. We got to keep these things in our heart, in our concern. We can't let certain things slip. I'm serious. It's easy to just, you know, lose your zeal, lose your passion. And when he told Timothy to stir up the gifts, you know, stir it up. We talk about revival, reviving the saints, you know, revival, you know. These are things, I mean, we should keep a present readiness. You know, this hour, this midnight cry, this midnight occasion that we're going through, you know, midnight is the darkest and the latest hour of a day. You know, these are the midnight hours of life, and we have got to stay ready. Condition, you know, mentally, you know, we have to be ready. You know, if you slip during the day, you need to find time, go somewhere and talk to God. Try to get that thing right. Confess our sin to God. And he's faithful and just to forgive us. You know, you can't walk around with sin in your life thinking that you're rapture ready. That's not going to happen. If you got problems with your sisters and your brothers, you need to try to get it right. You know, if possible, get it right. This is what God expects. You know, this is what he accepts. So we thank God. The fig tree parable, Matthew chapter 24. Israel, brothers and sisters, Jeremiah 24, verses 1 to verse 5, verse 1 to verse 5, Jeremiah 24 talks about Israel and compare them as figs, naughty figs and good figs. So the fig tree parable, God is talking about Israel, and he compared them to a fig tree. You know, May the 12th, 1948, when Israel came back to Jerusalem. You know, they had been scattered ever since Nebuchadnezzar, and they were taken into Babylon, and all over the world they were scattered, and they came back to Jerusalem and became a sovereign nation. Amen? So we keep this in mind. May the 12th, 1948, they came back on a ship called Zion. And they came, they fought a war. I think it was a 6 or 7 day war. And they came out victorious. God gave them favor, you know, just favored them in this war. And they settled themselves in Jerusalem and became a sovereign nation, May the 12th, 1948. And now we see a building up all around Jerusalem. They're coming back for the soon coming king, you know, when he comes back to fight in the Battle of Armageddon. You know, he will fight in this battle. The saints will be there with him. You know, the last time we ministered, you know, the battle is fought in a strategic place called the Valley of Jehita, the Battle of Jehoshaphat, and the Lord appears. And in the brightness of his appearance and the word that comes out of his mouth, the flesh just falls from the bone. And eagles and birds are drawn to this place where horses and the flesh of men were there. They're drawn to this great feast where they eat on the flesh of those people that fell at the Battle of Armageddon. Just think about all those people that became a part of the one world system. How many people took the mark of the beast in order to buy and to sell? They took the mark of the beast. You know, anybody who takes this mark becomes a part of the one world system, or fight. They are called to fight in this battle. Of course, the ten-toed kingdom. There's a rock according to Daniel chapter 2, Tyrol out of the mountain. And it hits the metallic image on, and the 10-toed kingdom is destroyed. You know, of course, you know, the clay was made out of part iron and part clay, and it's destroyed. The 10-toed kingdom is destroyed, you know. So we bless the Lord. We bless the Lord on tonight. He's a mighty warrior who comes back to fight. He's dressed up for war, coming on a white horse with a sword in his mouth. Amen. And a rod of iron. He rules with a rod of iron. His hands of righteousness, strong hand of righteousness, right hand of righteousness. He rules with a right hand of righteousness. Amen. So he comes back to fight and to take over this world. You know, this world belongs to him. You know, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Earth is the Lord, fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Our kinsman redeemer paid the redemption price. We were redeemed with the blood of the Lamb, the precious blood of the Lamb, the blood that was shed for the remission of sin. Amen. So we thank God for the blood. We thank God for Jesus, you know, our kinsman, redeemer. Yeah, our Messiah. The Jews are looking for a Messiah. You know, we thank God that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. We thank God for this. And we bless his holy and righteous name. We're going to stop here on the night. We hope that you were blessed. We bless the Lord. It is very exciting, you know, to know what the future holds. You know, the future holds for this world and the people that are in this world. You know, God has made a way out for us. You know, he's become the way. You know, he is a way maker, a heavy load sharer, a burden bearer. And he's a mind fixer, heart regulator. And we're grateful that he's made a way for us. We're going to stop here. Is there any questions? Is there any questions about the fig tree parable? The fig tree. Israel is the fig tree nation. Is there any questions? If there are no questions, we're going to pray. We certainly thank God for the Holy Spirit. We thank God for the Word of God on record. We thank God for truth. The only thing that sets man free is the truth. And he said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. So we thank God for the truth. We know that the Word is forever settled in heaven. He said, "Let my word be true, and let every man be a liar." So we thank God that we are so grateful for his word. And we bless him for his word on record. We bless your name. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for sending your word with power and conviction. We thank you for sending your word with direction and purpose. We ask that you would sanctify your word in our heart, that we might not sin against you, that we might keep your word. Lord, we bless you for your word. We bless you, Lord God, for the hearers of your word. Now, Lord, we just say thank you for another worship experience. Thank you for the very teacher, the Holy Spirit, who led and guided us into all truth and make it known to us, the mystery part of God's word. We bless you, God, for the Holy Spirit. We bless his holy and righteous name. We pray now for this end time revival, for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, for the revival, for the souls, Lord, that are in this world. Father, we just ask that you would send laborers into the vineyard, that they would revive the harvest, that the word let us know that the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The anointing breaks yokes, Lord. We ask for fresh oil of the anointing to be poured out among your leaders. Let them speak a word, Lord God. Let there be a place, a time, or a situation, circumstance, that the word will be spoke into the ears of those that have come to hear. Make it known to them. Make the word known to them. Father, we bless you now for the word. We bless you for hearers. We ask you, Lord God, for grace and for mercy. Faith to believe, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And grace to perform those things that you have purposed for our lives. Oh, God, bless us, God, and we shall be blessed. Keep us, God, and we shall be kept, is our prayer. These and all blessings we ask in Jesus' wonderful name. We thank God. We thank God, and amen.